Here we go. So, hey, it's B-Rad Celebrity Hairstylist here, your host of the Hairstylist Empowerment Podcast, a platform that allows the voices of the beauty industry to empower with the spoken word. Thank you for joining us today on today's show. We were just voted number 2 spot in the top 10 best Canadian celebrity podcasts, as well as we were voted number 2 in the top 25 must listen to hairstylist podcast 2024. And currently we're over 62,000. And thanks to you on over 50 plus podcast platforms, including Amazon Music, Audible, and Spotify. So I want to welcome to you to today's episode of the Hairstylist Empowerment Podcast. Our guest, Leanne Miley, is the executive director of the nonprofit organization, The Sovereign Stylist. After being terribly misclassified by a salon owner, she recognized the need for more business education in the beauty industry, specifically regarding worker classification and rights. Leanne is a single mother of 4 from central Nebraska. She fulfilled her dream of owning a salon after 12 years behind the chair in various positions from corporate management to renting her own suite. Along with an education in cosmetology, Leanne has a degree in both psychology and business administration. She brings her own life experiences to the knowledge she shares and gives participants firsthand knowledge on real life situations. As hairstylists, we are more than just professionals behind the chair. We are artisans, visionaries, and entrepreneurs. The Sovereign Stylist is your guide to navigating the ever-evolving landscape of the beauty industry, where creativity meets commerce and passion meets purpose. Whether you're dreaming of starting your own salon, expanding your clientele, mastering advanced techniques, or simply reigniting your passion for hairstyling, the Sovereign Stylist is here to support and empower you every step of the way. So grab your shears, unleash your creativity, and let's embark on this journey together with the Sovereign Stylist, where your reign begins. Let's welcome today's guest, Leanne, to the show. So we're going to pop Leanne up here. So welcome, Leanne.
Hello.
So great. And thank you for joining us here on the Hairstylist Empowerment Podcast. I know we have a lot to talk about. I hope you have a little bit of time to spend with
sure.
us. But we already have, let's see. Oh, here we go. So we have a Facebook user. So remember, if you're commenting on a public page, your face will come up. You want to make sure you agree to the terms of StreamYard. And also it allows us to see you. Or if you're in a private group, my group or Leanne's group, you can also just put your name beside the comment, and then we know who you are, because we like to bring you up, celebrate you, and, you know, shout you out, sort of thing. So yeah, wow, we've already got people buzzing already, sort of thing.
So oh, good.
We'll just kind of jump into our stuff. So I want to say welcome, Leanne. So if you can kind of please introduce yourself and give the audience a little bit about your graphic, a little bit, just because we've got so much to dive into.
I am the executive director and founder of The Sovereign Stylist. And The Sovereign Stylist actually started as a booth Facebook group for booth renters, and then kind of progressed into, I just was like, you know what, we can do so much more than just being a Facebook group. And so that is when I decided to incorporate and brought on a team of other professionals that are like CPAs, IRS agents, different types of lawyers from about 42 different states here in the United States. So we mainly operate out of our Facebook group, but we also have a website that has a lot of different articles, guest bloggers, and things like that on it. A ton of resources. Basically, what I like to do is I like to take all that IRS jargon, that government jargon, and I like to break it down, and I like to apply it to the beauty industry so that it's easier to understand.
Exactly. And you kind of covered part of what I first wanted to ask you about sharing your journey of becoming a sovereign stylist. But for those that don't know, what is a sovereign stylist? What inspired you to pursue a career in the beauty industry? Because you said you were behind the chair 12 years, you had a salon suite, things like that. So we always like to know why. And then how did you transition from being like owning your own business?
So I actually started out as a social worker and worked in different fields as a social worker for a few years. And then actually my last conversation with my grandma before she passed away, I was really kind of, I didn't know if being a hairstylist would be accepted by like my folks or, you know, family or anything like that, just because it's one of those careers, you know, that are stereotyped. And so my grandma told me to go out and do whatever I wanted to do, do what was going to make you happy. And I didn't know that was going to be my last conversation with her. And she was somebody that meant a lot to me. So she passed away just a few days later. And then a few days after laying her to rest, I enrolled in cosmetology school. I was in my mid-20s, but I was also one of the older students in my class. And I really excelled. I mean, it was one of those things where I did face growing up some learning disabilities and stuff, but that cosmetology just hit. Like I was understanding everything, the color formulation and everything like that made sense. And so I went out and it did take me because of test anxiety. Take me 5 years after graduating to get my license. Not that it took that many times to pass the state boards. It was because it took those nerves to go away to actually go in and take the test. And then I ended up scoring a perfect score on it. So I was kind of frustrated afterwards. I was like, if I would have just done this so many years ago.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing for a lot of people. Sorry to interrupt, but I think that's a big thing for people is imposter syndrome or anxiety because everybody thinks, oh, well, you do hair, you make people beautiful. You must have a really go-getter kind of, you know, persona that you're out there, because obviously behind the chair, we're always happy. We're always, you know, with our clients, but they don't really see the other side of us that's scared, that's depressed, that's got some mental things going on, which is not a bad thing. But I think too, we empower people by creating amazing looks for them, but sometimes inside of us, we haven't got to that level ourselves. We
meet right.
them and they're like, you're so beautiful, you're so amazing, and inside you're thinking, it's enough for me just to get through the day.
Well, yeah, like when you're done, you're like, well, man, I'm really glad that turned out, you know, because
exactly what it is, used to call it, the color, having color, and you like, you go back, you say, I'm going into the prayer room, right? Because
yes.
You're praying that color you mix is gonna take.
Yeah, I pray to the hair gods. That is, imposter syndrome is very real, and it's something that since starting the Sovereign Stylist about 6 years ago, it is something that is posted about quite a bit. The way that, you know, people really question if they really are that good, if they are as good as people tell them that they are. And so I think that I don't want our clients to know, because that would make them second guessing us, but maybe to have a little empathy to know of what is really running through our head, because this is somebody's like, there's so much that goes on in what we're giving people. You know, it's not just a look, it's confidence, it's self-assurance and things like that. So, you know, we have a lot of power in our hands.
Exactly. And I think it's tough for stylists too, when they're posting their work, because they may have taken hours and hours to do it. They feel great inside. It's the best work they've ever done. And then they post it expecting all these great comments. And then all you get is opinions. So
right. Yeah. And one thing that I found that ends up happening a lot, and this is something that I had to deal with myself, especially when I became independent, was that, you know, that client may love what you have done to their hair, but once they leave the salon, it takes one person. Usually it's a boyfriend, a significant other, or it's a mother-in-law that ends up saying one yep. sideways comment, and then it's our fault, you know, because somebody needs somewhere to place that blame, and then it's our fault. And so being able to kind of play counselor in a way you know, to kind of get the client to talk themselves through that whole, you know, that whole event that happened. And not being able to, not take everything so personal is another lesson that I had to learn too.
Well, and that's really tough, and especially too when you're, so we'll talk about your transition into, so as I say, it took 5 years to get your license, but then going from there to transitioning to be an entrepreneur, a female entrepreneur in a business, you know what I mean? What was that like for you?
So I love the business aspect, and that's kind of why, like, I have taken, you know, went back to school to get my business administration degree, and also why we concentrate on business aspects. I love the bookkeeping. I love the marketing and all of that you can do. And I think that when stylists become independent, they don't understand that you're basically wearing two hats. You're the stylist behind the chair doing the work and creating the look, but at the same time, you're also have all this administrative work that you have to do too. You've got to keep your books, your inventory, you've got to market yourself, you've got to watch your different numbers to see how many clients your retention is and things like that. And those are a lot of things that get missed. And I think that's why there's such a turnover when it comes to being like independent, is because they're not looking at the other side, the kind of side that's not so pretty as making everybody look beautiful.
Exactly. And I think us as creative people, and especially being owners, we like to be creative, but we don't like the numbers part. We don't like to deal with the thing. So a lot of them just make the receptionist the manager, or they get a manager and then they kind of just go off to their clients, and that's kind of it. But what does it mean to you to be a sovereign stylist?
For me, to anybody can be a sovereign stylist. You don't have to just be independent. You can still be sovereign is like above and beyond type of thing, you know, very confident in your work, educated in your work, or educated in the field, and just somebody that has all aspects of their business in check. Actually, when I came up with the word sovereign, I Googled synonyms for independent. Yeah. And sovereign came up. So you can be a sovereign stylist even as an employee working for somebody else. You still have a salon business that you are in control of. You know, when I was an employee, I was still marketing myself because my commission rate depended on those, you know, people being in my chair. So I still had, and I worked for a corporate salon, so there wasn't very much like marketing going on out there, on the corporate level. So still being able to go out and hit the streets and actually, you know, get away from social media, because that's where all your competition is. Getting in the streets and meeting people face to face is what makes a huge impact.
Of course. And connection and relationships is one of the biggest things that people miss, because they think build it and they will come. But if nobody knows who you are, and they may see your picture, it looks great. Oh, but I don't know that person. Or, you know, like that sort of thing. But how do you define, so I think you might have already answered it, but how do you define independence and empowerment in the context of hairstyling or beauty entrepreneurship?
Making it your own is a big thing that, you know, we can't, there's no cookie cutter way about doing things. So making it your own, everybody wants to live a different lifestyle, a different livelihood. You know, what is important to me is not important to somebody else and vice versa. So being able to make it your own and put your own personal flair on it is what is going to allow you to connect with those clients. They don't want, you know, it's being able to add that personality. And really, they want to feel a connection with you. You're putting your hands on them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a barrier that has to be broke. It makes people so apprehensive to set up their, you know, I've talked to friends and family who say they just dread making a hair appointment. Mm-hmm. And it's just because there's so much going on there. You know, somebody's touching me. I've got to make decisions. What am I going to look like afterwards? And then, you know, being able to fit it into your schedule. If you make it personalized, and if you make it your own, that is what is going to bring people to you.
Exactly, because most of us, we're one of the few professions where people actually pay us to touch them.
Exactly.
They pay us to be the expert, but there's also challenges as well. So what challenges did you face in establishing yourself as a sovereign stylist, and how did you overcome them? Can you share any lessons or tips for other stylists pursuing a similar path?
Well, I'm from kind of like central rural Nebraska. So, I mean, we have more cows than we do people here. Being able to relate to people on different levels is what really, you know, I could go from having a farmer coming in and sitting in my chair and doing his flat top to the next is, you know, a high school prom queen. So I had to be able to, I didn't have starting out necessarily like a target clientele. And that was one thing that I really had to work on, was defining, actually sitting down and writing down a whole story about who my ideal client is. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise I'm spending all this time and money and effort into advertising to everybody. Mm-hmm. And if I would have just, you know, niched it down and came up with who I wanted in my chair, then I could hone down all the different marketing, where to market, what would be appealing to them. That's what really makes the difference. And then having your ideal client in your chair also makes your time behind the chair a happier place. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, because most people say, I'm going to open and I'm going to be able to do everyone. Well, the thing is, even having your staff, sometimes your staff don't like doing everyone. If you love children, then gear it towards kids, have the TV screen there, have the little car, you know, that they can
see
in. Or if your avatar is creating your avatar, so you have to put down what your avatar is. My avatar is blondes because I love doing blondes, and they're this age to this age and this income. So you really know what that type of person is. And once you hone it towards that, And if your bliss is doing blondes, you're going to be happy all day long. But then again, if you get a screaming kid and that's not a blonde, you can still do the job, but it may not be as fulfilling. And then there's somebody beside you and they love kids, but they hate doing blondes. You know what I mean? So I think that's what it is. Look at what your strengths are. Look at where you're powerful. And it's okay, I think, to say, I don't know how to do everything.
Yeah, right. It is. I think that it's more respectful to be able to say that than to try to be able to do everything. I have four kids of my own and I don't cut their hair. I do not do well when it comes to doing kids' hair. So I never said that I don't do kids' cuts, because that's not a good marketing tactic. No. It's to say that you don't do something. One of the things that I did was I made my haircut price the same straight across the board. Whether you were an 18-month-old little girl coming in to get your first haircut, or you were an 88-year-old gentleman coming in to get your last, my haircut was a haircut. Mm-hmm. And so I know there's a lot of people out there who, you know, aren't kind of, well, what about the length and what if they have more hair and stuff like that? In my mind, it all kind of outweighed each other. Mm-hmm. You know, like if I got somebody in that was a simple buzz cut, it kind of outweighed in the future when I got somebody who had hair down to their butt.
Yeah, and took a little longer. Yep.
Yeah. So that was in my mind how I justified everything. But I never said that I didn't do a kid's haircut. It's just that people didn't want to pay an adult price for a kid's haircut.
Exactly. And because some people do believe they're paying for a service. So it shouldn't matter how much hair, what the age is. And when I first started, I worked in a salon like that. It was a membership salon. And it didn't matter your age. It didn't matter your gender. It didn't matter the length of your hair. Everything was across the board, the same price. Ma'am, woman, child were all exactly the same. So there was no, because how do you say, well, this kid is this age and they get charged this much? We don't do that to adults. How old are you?
Right.
Well, I'm 57, so I'm going to charge this much. I'm 85. I'm 21. So do they all get different prices? No, they don't. For the most
part. Well, and one of the things is, I had to keep in mind, sorry for interrupting, but I had a mentor who told me that they're not paying for the hair that's on the ground. They're paying for the hair that you're leaving them on their head.
Yes.
So once I changed that frame of mind, that way of thinking, you know, that really helped too. I'm huge on client and like educating my clients. So that was another thing that I would explain to them too, is that you're paying for what I leave on your head, not for the pile on the ground. You know, if you wanted to pay for the pile on the ground, I could put it in a bag for you and you can take it with you. But, you know, then that kind of puts it in their head. Well, I'm not taking my hair with me. No. This is the hair that I'm taking with me.
Exactly. And people assume that if there's more on the floor, then it took more work to do.
Yeah.
But not necessarily. You could grab a ponytail, go like this in one snip, there it's all gone. And you could do a uniform cut short. It's more because you're doing each individual one. But I just want to kind of break just a little bit here. So anybody who is, if you're watching us, if you're watching live, type in live in the comments. If you're watching the replay, put replay in the comments. I want to let you know that we are live and this is interactive. So any questions you have, please put them in the comments. We like to bring you up. We like to celebrate you. You know, it's sometimes when you talk to Leanne, you get so engrossed in what we're doing. We're not forgetting about you, but we're providing great content and we want you to be part of it too. I want you to be part of this this conversation that we're having, and we also want to celebrate you. We want to have a relationship with you. We want to connect with you. So make sure you do that. Oh, here we go. So with putting the comments in, yep. So here we go. So we have Nicole Bland. So Nicole Bland, she's live. So we'll give you a shout out. And it's always great when people are here watching and getting value. And if you have any questions for myself or our guest today, Leanne, please put them in there. So thank you, Nicole, for stepping up and joining in. And so let's get back to the show. So sometimes you forget, and it's the same with clients in the salon. You're so engrossed in what you're doing, sometimes you forget, you know, things like that are happening, going on, sort of thing. So another one is, so everybody, the thing about being creative and being a stylist is, like, how do people stay current with industry trends and innovations? So as a sovereign stylist, and can you recommend any resources or strategies for continuing learning and professional development? I know one, well, more than one, obviously, is your page and your group, which has grown exponentially and offering, you know, what stylists need. So it's great to be part of that. So if you want to tell them a little bit more about that or any other resources you may know where they can connect to kind of keep on point with being a sovereign stylist.
Well, the thing is that makes our group unique is that we do have like lawyers. Actually, one of the most active lawyers used to be a hairstylist.
Oh.
And then now is a lawyer. And we have our resident accountant. We have these, like, I guess you would call them kind of like white collar business professionals that are also in our group. And then we have a team that are kind of, I call them the team, of volunteers that are kind of in the background that I've made connections with. And so when somebody reaches out or has a question, I can send out an email blast and then they get back to me with their recommendations. Now, none of this is like, we kind of make it, this is their recommendations or this is an educational opportunity. They're not giving like one-on-one advice because we're not making that like relationship directly. I'm kind of the go-between person. And so that is why we're able to offer this like as a free, you know, we don't charge for this.
No.
And so the other thing is, that's very important to me is that every post gets an answer. And so whether that means I'm on there at 2:30 in the morning, scrolling through, making sure that everybody gets an answer. And I also make myself available for one-on-one, like, you know, private messages and stuff that people don't want to post or they need more clarification. We have a different set of like ways to conduct yourself in our group. If you're going to comment on the legalities of something, you've got to be able to back it up with a credible source. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times what I see happens is that people take what their opinion is and they say it's legal. And that is where I think this industry it reminds me of that game of telephone that you play when you're a kid. You start down here, and then by the time you get to the end, it's nothing like what you started with. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've gotten on a lot of things, like when it comes to like 1099 employees, which is not a real thing. Or, you know, even having the classification of 1099. 1099 is a tax form. It is not a type of worker. And, you know, we've gotten to where Sally Solano owner down on the corner has gotten away with this for 20 years and she hasn't been caught. That's not the mentality that we should have. Mm-hmm. We should have the mentality that we are treating stylists the way that they need to be. They are, you know, their right to be treated. We have laws in place that allow for, you know, independence, and we have laws and protections for employees too.
Yeah, and see, that's the big line. I don't want to get off topic, but that's one of the big things, and that's where I live too. They do that. They put you as an independent, but then you're treated like an employee. So if you're self-employed, you should be self-employed, not, you know what I mean? But that's a whole big, huge topic we're not going to touch on today. But
all right.
you should really know the source. So when people are commenting, and I know even with mine, you shared one of my posts, and people went crazy in your group. So everybody's interactive. Everybody's, I mean, they're all about education. They're all about that. But also, too, in your experience, what are the key skills and qualities that distinguish a successful sovereign stylist? Like, how do you cultivate these traits in yourself and your team? So, well, if you want to be the above and beyond, yeah.
The biggest thing is having a care and a passion for your own success. Being responsible for where you get at in your career. It's in the power of your hands. You know, if you are not being treated the way that you feel you should be treated, or if it's affecting your mental health, take control of that and make it your own and do something about it. Now, I'm not saying jump ship and go find another salon. You know, that should be a last resource, but opening up the lines of communication, somebody that is, you know, able to speak up for themselves. As being like a single mom for as long as I have, that is one thing that I have had to learn, is that I have to speak up for myself. And that is something that I've tried to instill the confidence, or like empower our group members, is to speak up for themselves, speak up for your rights, speak up for, you know, your mental health. Your mental well-being is another huge thing.
Exactly. Communication is, and a lot of misunderstanding comes because people can't understand what you don't communicate. Or if you think, I'll just shove it under the rug, everything will be better. But some people say, if I hadn't known, things would have been different, or it would have changed something.
Yes.
Or, and that, yes. Sometimes it's something simple, or I never knew that that bothered you, or, you know, oh, you need to have this off because you think, oh, I'll just leave subtle hints around and maybe they'll get it. And then, you know, that doesn't. But we always want to connect with people. So another thing in what we're doing right now, so collaboration and networking can be crucial in the beauty industry. So how do you approach building relationships with other professionals, brands, or influencers to support your business and career?
Well, actually, when I moved to a new town where the only people that, it was 45 minutes away from where I was at. So, I mean, outside of that realm of that, your clientele is going to actually follow you. I had 7 whole clients follow me that made the drive. And my only options were, the only people I knew were other stylists and my husband at the time. And my only options were either to work as in an employee salon, a commission-based salon, and be misclassified, or it was to be a booth runner. Well, I'd already been misclassified and gone through all of that. And so I was like, well, I'm going to do this on my own, and I'm going to start out with 7 whole clients. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing is that I did was I printed up business cards that had random, I made different, like, you know, so much off of a chemical service, a free haircut, a free deep conditioning, because I knew once I got them in my chair, I could win them over. My battle was getting them there. So what I went and did is I introduced myself to, went actually in, physically went in and introduced myself to every business within a 10 block radius.
Oh, wow.
Of where I was at. I mean, it took me a while to do this, about a month of doing it. Mm-hmm. And I introduced myself to management, to anybody that was working, asked them to put these cards like in their break room or anything like that. I wasn't going after their customers or their clients. I wanted them. Because once I got them into my chair and won them over, then that's when they would market for me and tell their, I wanted their clients and their customers to hear it from them, not from me. So that was a big client, like builder for clientele was, even though I was giving that haircut away for free. I mean, what was that, 15 minutes? And then to win over a lifetime client who then went in and, you know, well, they wanted to experience having a color, or they wanted to experience some other services that, you know, that they did pay for then eventually, you know, after that. I think that there's a huge kind of misunderstanding going on about the difference between discounting services and the difference between promoting yourself. Mm-hmm. There is a difference between discounting services just for, like, without putting the math and the science behind it. Yeah. You have to be able to track your results and see if it was profitable for you. There's more that goes into just running a social media ad for 25% off of color services. Mm-hmm. You've got to see if that financially benefited you. You have to put down a timeline. Okay, I'm going to run this for so many weeks, then I'm going to come back and analyze, is this actually working? And that's a lot of the whole process that gets left out.
Exactly. So when I was training, I was taught that you never discount. The reason mentality of the client. So say you're getting $100 service. Now it's 25% off. So they're paying $75, but then the next time they come, they're going to pay $100. And then in their mind, they're like, why are you charging me $100 when I can, you can really only, you know, when it's like $75. So it shows that you're, number one, overcharging.
Yeah.
To get people in. So with my salon, we'd rather give you a free service. So what we would do is, mm-hmm. if you had your hair done, you got a free brow with our esthetician, or you got something with our massage therapist. So we were cross promoting, or you got a makeup touch up. So once you were with that other professional, then they would talk to you and you would end up maybe getting a full thing. Or now every time you book your color, now you're going to book your brows as well. So that worked better as opposed to discounting all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of what I would do too, is that I would give another service that I offer that a lot of times people don't, you know, really think that they deserve or that they should spend money on. I offer that, you know, a deep conditioning, or maybe I had different levels of like pedicure and manicures. And so, you know, just a simple manicure while they're processing or something like that would then, you know, open their eyes to a whole new experience. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, after that, it doesn't happen all the time, but you know, you get people that'll be like, well, I would like to have the whole shebang. You know, I would like to have the whole mani pedicure experience. And then I'll tell you that it kind of was funny is that pedicures became one of my top services.
Mm-hmm. And just by putting it on, and you can make it fun by and that's the thing. Sometimes the most conservative people, they like the fun colored toes. Because that's the thing, or having the multicolor underneath, or so they can still be conservative for work, but then they have their fun side, their creative side. But people will never know about the services they don't know about unless you tell them. And because most people say they're only in for a haircut, I'm just going to do the haircut and that's it. And they're too afraid to suggest maybe some, you know, a couple of little highlights, like five oils or something like that, where it introduces them into something else that. Because if we're not using everything in our arsenal toolbox, we're not really being professionals. And to me, that's not selling, it's recommending. So if I thought that this would be great for you, or we had a new product that would be great for your skin, your hair, to make your life easier, I'm doing you a disservice by not mentioning it to you. Like if they don't buy it, fine, but the seed is planted and they'll say, oh yeah, I mentioned, or hey, I tried that deep conditioning. I really notice now how my hair feels without it. I want to book once a month and have it done once a month, or every time I get my color done.
Yeah. And it also shows your level of care and how much attention you're paying to them. Mm-hmm. You know, that they're not just another person in your chair, you know, that you are actually, you're actually invested in them. And, you know, that when you invest in them, that gives them a reason to invest in you. and creates a loyal client.
Exactly. And one thing too, I think it's tough for us, or for some hairstylists, they jump into a creative profession, but they lack creativity. And I think that's the one is toughest thing. But how, so with balancing creativity and business, that's always essential for the sovereign stylist, but how do you manage the creative aspect of your work and also running a successful salon or studio?
The biggest thing is keeping up on education. You know, I made it a purpose that I would either Sundays or Mondays were when I was independent were my administration day. And that was the day that, you know, I got caught up on my books. I paid myself. I paid the bills. I went and, you know, ran to the supply store and got what I needed for the week or next couple weeks. But that was also the day that I dedicated myself that it didn't have to be like paid education, but I was going to be getting, I was going to be educating myself on something. And so that, I think that being able to set aside, don't just wait for, you know, your a hair show to pop up in your area. There's so much, there's a plethora of opportunities online. So, yeah.
And that's a big thing. Education's a big thing. I'm big on education. You're on big education. I think that's why we collabed, you know, collab, and we're going to do much more because I just never want to stop talking to you. So, thank you, Nicole. So she says, I have no questions. I just want to say I'm really enjoying this conversation.
And that's Nicole.
We want to make it that people are involved, people are engaged, that we're actually providing great content and providing stuff that you want to listen to. Because I know with a lot of podcasts, there is a lot of fluff out there. Yes, I am number two. I'm 10%. my podcast is in the top 10% across the world. I just found that out too.
But that's awesome.
So there's a difference in sharing about what you're proud of, as opposed to look at me, I'm this, I'm that, I'm, and I think that's kind of scares people as well. And especially jumping into like being an entrepreneur or being, so what advice would you have for stylists who to aspire to transition from being employees to independent entrepreneurs, and what steps can they take to start their own business or become a sovereign stylist?
The biggest thing is that you've got to have, whether, I mean, you don't have to have a full-fledged degree like I do, but there's a ton of like the Small Business Administration, your different individual states, Department of Labor, all have these free resources for small business owners. Mm-hmm. And these are the basics that people, I wish they taught in school, but that like in Cosmo school, but these are the basics that you need to run a business. And you know, the turnover is so great, but I think if we had more education out there on the business aspects, the bookkeeping, the inventory, the marketing, you know, you wear two hats, like I said before, and we need to promote that business administration side of operating a business. It's not just standing behind the chair and saying yes or no to clients that you want and you don't want. You've got to know where your money's going, and you've got to know where your money's coming in, if your money's coming in, you know, and you've got to be able to, you know, one of the biggest lessons I had to learn was when I went into the supply store, I had to make a very, like a regiment list before I went in, and I had to only get the things on that list. Otherwise, my, you know, dispensary was going to look like a supply store, because, you know, I wanted all these great, awesome products they were coming out with.
Toy, new thing, new product, new this, new that. And so with my shop, what we did is our retail paid for our retail, because most times you get all this retail, but then you use the money from here, creative financing, right? You put the money from over here and this and that to buy more product. Well, the product on your shelves isn't selling, but this kind of goes back to know your avatar before you get into business. So if you know who's going to come, get products. So if you're going to do seniors, make sure then you have your purple shampoo. Make sure you have your, you know, not like, as I say, the proper sprays and products that those clients are going to want. If you have a different type of clientele, a male clientele, because you're a barbershop and you're in like doing males, they're going to do, not every male wants to buy mousse. Not every male wants to buy, they're better with maybe a gel or a 12-in-1 shampoo that does
everything
and washes their hair. You know, you have to know when you're doing products. And that's the kind of the biggest thing for people with that. So people that kind of want to, how would you prioritize self-care and maintain a work-life balance as a sovereign stylist? Can you share any practices or routines that help you stay grounded and avoid burnout? Because I think that's a big one.
Oh, that's
for
a good
too.
Question. That is a big one. So I am big on mental health. I have a few diagnoses myself. I actually have another group that is behind the chair with ADHD. And that is because I've been diagnosed for 20 some years. And there's a lot of stuff that comes along with that, with depression and with some anxiety too. So my biggest thing about that, and it comes back to education. Mm-hmm. Educate yourself on, if you're feeling some depression, educate yourself on it. Don't be afraid to get help. You know, a lot of these mental health things cannot be dealt with alone. You have to be able to get some counseling or something like that. There's even apps out there now who that you can text counsel with somebody. Mm-hmm. So that, and having a good I always call them my army. I call, like I have my sovereign army, your team that is going to back you up, that are Team Leanne, or, that are just going to be your little cheer corner. So being able to recognize and not be scared, just recognize we all are going through this. I have never met, and I have met a ton of stylists at hair shows and stuff from different career points, and being, none of them have ever said, oh, I've never experienced a bout of, sadness or something like that. Everybody experiences it. And we as a together in the beauty industry, I think have a community that a lot of other industries don't have, where we're so empathic that we have each other's back. We do care when it comes to, you might get competitive when it comes to who can foil more foils in an hour or whatever. But when it comes down to it, if you have a fellow stylist or a fellow SD or something like that, that is dealing with some things, that whole competition kind of wall comes down, and we're on a level that we can understand each other because we're dealing with the public. So I guess my biggest thing is just not to be afraid to reach out, and because you're not going to get better in silence. It's going to manifest and it's going to become worse. So being able to reach out, I mean, that's the great thing about, like in our group, you can post anonymously, just being able to post anonymously and put that out there. And I think I have 13 volunteers who help keep track of all the comments, and we're pretty, strict on no bullying, and sometimes they get posted and we have to catch up to it. Mm-hmm. But I always do try to make sure that I reach back out personally to people and just check in and make sure that they're doing okay.
And that's what we want to have as group leaders, as salon owners, as professionals. I think we want to create safe spaces, and that's really what it should be. So Nicole says, I love my therapist. And I think to have a therapist, number one, is amazing. And having a therapist doesn't mean there's something wrong with you, because we listen to people's what's it called? Like, they're dumping. We're being dumped on all day with everybody's stuff. And you either internalize that, you let it brush off you, but that sort of thing. And as I say, just to say, hey, I have this, I'm doing something. And that's part of self-care. Right. I did a series, Changing the Hairstylist from the Inside Out. It's a 13-part series, which if you want to check out, I'm not here to promote. I also did a book as well called The AC of Salon Professional Self-Care. But it's the same. Self-care is not what you think it is. It's not a glass, even though it's enticing as it sounds. It's not necessarily a glass of wine, candles, and bubble baths. it's a lot of other stuff, right? It's a lot of nature. We have more. So the same, it's it, It's standard not for therapists to have therapists. We should all have them as well. It's the same.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mentors have mentors. Coaches have coaches. And I think if all of us in our line of work and we don't have somebody coaching us, mentoring us, listening to us to help balance out, because sometimes having friends is great, but sometimes having friends that are biased or talking to people that may not have your best interest, sometimes sharing those deepest things isn't always the best way to go. People are people.
No, it can do more damage than it can do good, really.
Well, of course, you know, as I say, it should be standard now, as I say, Nicole. And thank you, Nicole, for engaging. So you can see we are live. It's not pre-recorded. We're seeing it live. And this is what I absolutely love, that we're in a safe space where people can just chat and just talk and just, because the other one too and I have training in, but we're not going to touch on, but we also deal with the other side of which it's not an easy topic, but domestic abuse. And that happens when we see clients. I'm fully trained, but a lot of people don't really know how do you spot it? What do you do? Because we have to be very careful. If we're not experts and we're licensed, we can't go and say, you should do this or you should do that. That'll get you into a lot of trouble. So do not say any of that.
I actually,
never give your opinion. Yeah.
And now that you bring that up, I did just about a month ago release to the group that I have been going through the same thing. I just led a situation with my two kids with nothing but the clothes on our back, which also prompted me to, I just finished and I will just start. It'll be available online, but right now for Iowa and Nebraska salon owners, I'm doing in-person education. It's called Brush Away the Silence on Domestic Violence. And so that will be something that is coming, because I very much agree with you as somebody going through it myself. Yeah. And then when I made the public announcement to see all the other stylists and the other sovereigns coming out, and you know, the conversation was there that there needs to be more education on this. And so that prompted me to become certified myself on being an advocate, and then creating a salon centered education for exactly how do you deal with that? How do you answer? There's a misconception of, you know, telling people to leave. Well, you can't. Some people, it's more dangerous for them too. So being able to give those right answers and then being able to take care of yourself.
Well, yeah, being able to, or as I say, have the numbers there, find the people in your town that they can call, slip a note. You know what I mean? They can then choose, because, you know, people can choose and that sort of thing. Before we go to as we're kind of wrapping up, I know I want to talk more for hours, but we have to wrap up, but we're both in education, but I want to kind of show, so something Nicole said too, a great distinction, look at me versus being proud. So there's a difference in being conceited, being puffed up, so it's called El Capitano, so which means I'm a puffed up, look, I'm the captain of the ship, look at me, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong in walking into work with your tiara and say, thank you, I'm here. I've greeted you with my presence. I think that's fine.
Know what I mean?
But there's a difference in it. And that's why people think when they're posting too, oh, look at that person, they're just showing off. You know what I mean? But that's one thing we have to get over too. If you worked really hard and you're something you're proud of, and that's an accomplishment, and somebody else hasn't done it, that's on them. Let them step
up. Yeah, it is.
You don't step down. Let them step up. And that's
what sovereigns do too. You know, like that's just the thing, is that's being independent and empowered to toot your own horn when you need to. But at the same time, you got to kind of like not rub it in. You know, there's a line.
It's the intent. It's the intent behind it. So once you've said
exactly
what you're doing, if you're doing it to inspire other people, which we inspire with the spoken word, but the Hairstylist Empowerment Podcast is about exactly that, empowering the listeners with what they hear and empowering the guests. Like, I'm never going to have you on and say, well, Leanne, in 91, you were at this da-da-da and did all kinds of stuff. We all have lives. We all have paths. We all have stuff. You know what I mean? But I also want to give some shout outs to Courtney. She gave a shout out, our guest to invite. Nathalie? Is that Nathalie? I think.
Looks like it.
Yeah. So, and then, so we love this too. Haley, and then joining. So it's nice that too, everybody's. So if you want to, make sure that you share this podcast, you like this podcast, that, you know, a regular, if you want to be a regular listener, I have like 125 episodes, over 62,000. But it's not about that. It's just showing that. And I just kind of started it out of like, you know, just a need. What's there, because there's so many of them. It's like, if you're not giving people, that's how you find your niche. Find out what's missing. If I have an ad and Leanne has an ad that says, we do hair cutting, foils, perming, that's fine. Then why go to her or why go to me? You have to really find your niche. If you say, I do blonding for XYZ because I have my avatar so precise, then people can say, I'm going to go to Leanne because that's me. And that's who I'm going to go to. And you got to see what people are doing with their groups, with their things, with their, and we're big on education and collaboration and some stuff we're going to mention as we wrap up. But this is not about me. It's about Leanne, and it's about you guys getting great education. So that being said, we're going to kind of go with, so looking ahead, what are your goals, your aspirations in the future career of your business as a sovereign stylist? And how do you envision continuing to grow and evolve in the industry?
So I don't know. There are many people who actually know me, but I'm no longer behind the chair because of allergies that I developed over the years that I ignored, and then it became to the point where my organs were shutting down, so it was like I should not ignore them anymore. So that is all of them. I love this beauty industry. I've never felt a place that I feel more at home and fit into, and so I'm not going to let the fact that I can't physically be behind a chair take me out of the industry. So you can find me, we have plans to do a lot more educating with the Sovereign Stylist, of creating an online, basically library of education that is taught by independent instructors, trainers on business topics. And they're going to be sovereign trained, which means they will, we're going to have, I guess, just criteria that these educators need to be able to meet to, because I am very, very big on standard, and being able to back things up is my big thing. So we're going to be releasing that, and then hopefully be getting out, and since, you know, COVID type of thing is over, being able to get out and do more in-person teaching.
Yeah, in person. You know me, I love in person.
Yeah, so yeah.
A little bit about that, but that's exactly it. Not everyone that says they're a teacher are a teacher. A good teacher. And one of my biggest things is, because I deal with a lot of educators, is sometimes everybody wants to go for the big names, but sometimes the big names aren't always great. You know what I mean?
Yep, I totally agree.
Can teach you more. Maybe you're learning more on this podcast than you went and you spent hundreds of dollars for somebody. And that's the biggest thing I've heard, that they said, again, they came to one of my events and they said, I learned more here or more on your podcast than I did paying hundreds of dollars to somebody else who didn't give me anything. So it's all these people that are instant gurus, push out their courses, but don't have the background behind it. They don't have the training behind it. Like I'm trained in hair aesthetics, massage, holistic psychology, domestic. So I have the certifications and I've done it, where it's not just somebody who thought one day they'll, you know, so I really know the industry really, really well, because I've been a platform artist. I've been a television host. I had my own show on health and wellness, mental health, for 3 years and it ran. So things like that. But lastly, as we kind of wrap up, and I keep saying that, like some upcoming projects, so some collaborations you're excited about. So we kind of know that. We don't want you to spill too much tea, because we want you to come back. So when you get these things going, we can talk a lot more. But as we kind of So I want to say, would there be anybody, is there anything I haven't asked you that you would like to share with the audience?
I think my biggest thing is that if you're looking for a community, and I'm not promoting the group, but it's a free thing, you know, and I'm about education and I'm about building a community. That's, I don't refer to it as a Facebook group. I refer to it as a community where you are a member, you're part of. And so look for us, the Sovereign Stylist on Facebook, and make sure you answer the questions to join. But we are, I think we get, I get messaged all the time from people about the community that we have built. And I just, more people that there is to share with it, the better that we're doing for the industry as a whole.
Oh, that's great. I mean, and two, it's, and I'll talk this on another show, but the group that you've built is incredible, and especially an interactive group, which
Thank you.
Lots of people like to join the group. Most of them, even with my group, they don't answer the questions, and that's the most frustrating thing as an admin. Please answer the questions, because that's going to get you more in than get you not
in.
But there's so many great people out there. Would there be anybody you would like to give a shout out to?
I would like to give a shout out to my admin and mod team. They are amazing. We've kind of done some restructuring, and a lot of them are new, and they have stepped in, and I love that they ask questions, and I just, they're rock stars in my book, because, you know, there's times where I have to unplug and just kind of step away from things for a while, and I have the utmost confidence that the group is going to keep on rolling and not, you know, become a rolling dumpster fire. Because they see my vision, and they uphold it, and they have the same vision, and they have ownership in the group too. So I love them, guys. And I tell them as often as I can think about it, that I do. I really appreciate it, because admins and moderators are not paid. They do this voluntarily. And all of my admin and moderators work behind the chair. So, you know, they're not only dealing with the public, they're also dealing with the online, with our community. So I greatly appreciate them.
So if people want to connect with you, where are the best places? So you have the Facebook group, you have a Facebook page, and you're also on Instagram. Are those the best places to find you?
Yeah, and then we do have a channel on YouTube too, also, that has some interviews on it with that talks about non-competes. We talk about setting your prices. We talk about insurance, like professional liability insurance.
Wow.
So we have some different things on there. And then our website is full of resources too. Anything from tax deductions to interview questions. So the biggest thing is the group, but I just brought on a creative director who is going to be upping our Instagram game. So I guess we'll be able to be seen there more too.
Yeah, that's exciting, because everybody's on their phones now. Everybody wants to be connected. That's good too, as stylists too. You want to make sure that you have an online presence. You can't be successful, I don't think, if you don't have an online presence. But you've given us so much already. As we wrap up, what's a nugget of gold you would like to leave our audience?
I think my biggest thing is that, like I mentioned before, whether you are working for somebody else, or whether you are on your own, or you own a salon and people work under you, this is your business. This, make it your own, find your niche, find your target clientele. Make a plan and go out and rock it. Go rock some hair is what I say a lot.
Exactly. I mean, hairdressers rock, anybody in the beauty industry, all beauty professionals rock, which is why I created, which today's sponsors. So today's episode has been brought to you by Beauty Industry Cruises, powerful education in a beautiful destination. So if you love education and you want to see up your game, so to speak, and get the information, get the right people, I'm going to show you a quick video of some of the things that we have coming up. Celebrity hairstylist. I'm also the cruise captain of the Beauty Industry Cruises. We have lots of education, lots of destinations coming up for 2024, 2025, with new events announced, like you saw in the video, with cruises from Miami, Vancouver, New York, Port Canaveral, Florida, Texas, Galveston, Texas, Amsterdam, Athens, UK, Jacksonville. So we got them all covered so they can go anywhere from a 4-day to like a 14-day to get that experience. And if you want to know more, you can go to www.beautyindustrycruises.com. You can also follow at Beauty Industry Cruises on Instagram. You can also follow me, Brad Celebrity Stylist on Instagram, hairstylist on Instagram as well. And wow, so I want to say thank you, Leanne, for being on today's podcast, Hairstylist Empowerment Podcast. So remember to get up, dress up, show up wonderfully and powerfully, and I'll see you next time.